Welcome back, everyone, to the Kevin Creator Show. I am Kevin. Thanks for joining us today. And today I'm talking to a really interesting guy. His name is Dr. George Ackerman. And he has a new book called A Son's Journey.
You won't be talking to George. We will.
Excuse me. How did you get on this channel? Who is this?
It's a channel. I'm standing right... What? No, I'm standing right in front of you. Clear as day. Oh.
Sorry, I was so focused on the microphone.
But we're here. What's going on? We're here to talk to George. You don't need to worry about it.
Oh. Well, I had a bunch of questions. I mean...
Oh, good. No, just leave those. Yeah, leave those here.
Yeah, I forgot to bring notes. I might need those.
Yeah, so you don't need them because we'll be using them to conduct the interview.
Speaking of conduct, that guy's mom has Parkinson's. It's probably difficult for her to be a conductor.
That is...
Probably, Jimmy. Oh, God. Kevin, don't worry about anything. We're stealing your podcast, in case you're confused as to what we mean. We're stealing it from you, and there's no reason to put up a fight, because we'll overpower you easily.
I see you are two very in-shape physical men, and I bow before you.
We are shapes, yes. Well, that was easy. Okay. So you can leave, go do whatever it is that you do when you're not in. Why are these children tied up in the corner?
Well, I have three kids, and so I have to keep them quiet to be able to talk to someone without them interrupting. So, you know, duct tape is an amazing product.
There's better ways, Kevin.
Did you ever think that a Parkinson's patient thought about using duct tape to keep their hands still?
Maybe. No, I'd say that would be cruel and unusual, and they wouldn't do that, Jeremy.
Huh. What's the over-under on how long they'd shake loose from the duct tape, I wonder?
Welcome to Michael and Jeremy Steal Your Podcast. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty okay.
Oh, nice. Well, we have a guest here. How are you, George?
Good. Thank you for your time and your listeners. It means the world to me and my family to have the opportunity to speak to you today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a hard-hitting topic, Parkinson's disease, something that you're unfortunately all too familiar with.
Yeah, unfortunately, we need more awareness. So, like I said earlier, it's just an honor to have the opportunity to speak to you. My dream and goal is really we just reach one person out there to teach them a little bit more about Parkinson's, and we've really changed the world for the better. So, thank you.
Oh, absolutely. And you have written, you've actually become quite the advocate. You've written a book in regards to your mother's experience with Parkinson's.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my mother passed 4 years ago due to Parkinson's. It was she had about 15 years. She never really told us about it. I just heard of the word, but it didn't affect her whole life as much as it did, unfortunately, the last 4 years. And that's when I really had to kind of sacrifice a lot to help her full time almost or even more. But, you know, growing up, she sacrificed a lot. She was a school teacher and had a master's degree and gave it all up to take care of me. And I don't think I'd be the man I am today if it wasn't for her sacrifice. So I'm, you know, grateful for her. And that's why I knew it was the right time to step up and, you know, kind of at the plate and help her as much as I could, at least be comfortable through the tougher times.
Yeah, absolutely. So you say she had it for a good long while and she really didn't tell anybody about it, right?
Yeah, I think she didn't want to burden the family, but it's funny that I know we're going to try and liven it up, which is what I'm looking forward to. And she, if she knew we were doing this now, she would say, George, don't waste your time. Go spend it with the family. So she was very interesting because she was selfless and didn't really want to burden people. But
yeah,
she didn't raise me like that. And that's why I fight today and in her memory. But for all those who, unfortunately, are still battling Parkinson's disease today and their caregivers, too.
Yeah, it's a tough disease to hide.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as you can see, unfortunately, Mr. Michael J. Fox is one of the more famous celebrities that's struggling. I had the honor to meet him a few months ago, and
wow.
It was like, imagine your life flashes by. It was such a quick moment, but I was excited, but at the same time, heartbroken, because I saw what the disease is doing to him. And just a few weeks ago, he actually won an award. I don't know if you both saw, but he was actually had to come out in a wheelchair for the first time. And that was, you know, tough. Cause people actually, it was more like a Comic-Con thing, which I'm not into. I loved it when I was a kid, but now I actually went more for Parkinson's and to introduce myself. And he actually learned about my mother, and we talked for a minute. But people had their skateboards from Back to the Future and all this cool memorabilia, but he couldn't even really, be standing at the time with it. So it's a tough disease.
Did you get his autograph?
Yeah, I did, but it was not even, honestly, if I had it over, I'm honored to have the picture, but waiting in 12-hour lines is not for me for an autograph. I could have just had you sign it. And that
was, it's a tough one to get authenticated.
He's actually doesn't have Parkinson's. He became he could tell the seismic activity.
Oh yeah, he's a seismograph.
His autographs
for earthquakes.
That's a 4.6.
Some of it. I can't believe people. They wait all like they fly around the country to meet people like celebrities. I just don't know how they stand there for 20 hours. And I mean, I left right after I met him, but there were pretty big people at the event too. But
yeah, and Parkinson's is mostly. There's something going on in the brain that affects the neurological, right? What is it called?
Yeah, you have it right. It's unfortunate it's the fastest growing neurological disease in the world. So it's about 1 million people approximately in the U.S., but 10 million throughout the world. And 2 years ago, I decided it's not just about my mother and I anymore. It was about everybody. So I actually had the opportunity to interview 600 people from all over the world, from even Iceland, Nova Scotia, France, Spain, Italy. It's all on togetherforsharon.com completely free. I don't charge. I don't ask for money even today. That's not what we do this for. I really just don't want other people to go through this. But unfortunately, Parkinson's doesn't discriminate. I was shocked to even know, it can get people in Iceland and Australia, and unfortunately, you can't really, hide from this.
Damn,
disease.
I thought I was safe in the ice mountains.
Parkinson's can get me here.
All the movies, like vampires, are in us, like Alaska, because they can't.
Vampires with Parkinson's?
Slow down. Vampires, but not. They go to bite, they're just stabbing all over the neck.
Oh no.
Well, hey, before I keep making off-color jokes, because I know it's bubbling inside of me, I wanted to share my condolences with you. My mother also passed away 4 years ago. She passed away from a really hardcore case of MS. And it was hard. It's hard to watch someone so full of life become...
fade away.
In front of you.
Yeah.
I wish we could end all these diseases. Unfortunately, my mother also had late onset dementia, so that was even a little bit more frightening than Parkinson's, because they do say you can live with Parkinson's. You don't die of it, you die with it. But in my mother's case, she is only 69, never had any health issues. But when if we get to Parkinson's, affects, like you said, the neurological part of your body, but it almost is... you have some individuals have the tremors, so external, like you'll see Michael J. Fox. Some don't have it as much. It's more internal. My mother had stiffness in her left arm, which made it trouble to use her left arm towards the last 4 years. But you also have something called dystonia, which is the curling of the toes. But the worst part of Parkinson's is it's really crippling, because imagine you want to walk even, just to the next room, and your body just doesn't allow it. So that's a major symptom, where it's freezing of the gait. So it's almost like you literally are trapped in one spot and you can't move. But then if you add dementia, at the end again. Then you had delusions and hallucinations, and those were actually even more frightening because my mother was seeing people and animals and things, and she didn't know or appreciate when they were actually there. So it almost felt like a horror movie at some point because...
George, you know, vampires!
Yeah.
George, get these vampires! Get your gun, George!
Was it the dementia and the Parkins? She thinks she's a wind-up toy?
No, if you remember... Actually, one sadder part, not to ruin the show, but...
No, please.
There is a lot of light at the end of the tunnel and good, you know, things. I've been really honored to meet individuals like you both, your audience, and so many people in the community that have opened their arms to me, and that means the world in memory of my mother. But the worst time was, so my mother had it for 7 years, but one night she went for a special program at a university, and I don't name them, but... it was like a trial, and she came home that night. We think they might have changed her medicine too drastically, and I got a call from her home, and I had to rush over at 4 a.m., and she was moving her furniture out of her home, and she was in fear that Nazis were inside. So that's when we rushed her to the hospital. They said we saved her life, but that wasn't even the worst. When I went to pick up some of her clothes, imagine you're in that movie A Beautiful Mind or some even a horror movie, and the whole room is surrounded by post-it notes, and on the notes were literally people who had passed away, and she didn't know if they were actually in the room. So that's the tragic part of all this. But, you know, if you, it's hard to make it light, but, you know, I did feel like I was in kind of a, you know, horror movie just because I was, you know, you're not trained for that. You can't take a class on being a caregiver. And like you mentioned, and again, I send my sympathy with you and your family, but you don't, you know, you can't prepare for seeing your loved one, you know, like that.
No.
Did you ever find the Nazis?
Yeah, she was also seven. No. Like, so your mother would be 73 this year, yeah. Right?
Right.
Which means that she was born in 1951. That was a little after Nazis, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the.
The good news is I happen to have weapons, so I would have been okay to protect her. So, but to remove a weapon from her because she lived alone and I trained her how to shoot and she slept with it under her pillow. But at that point, when you now talk about the seriousness of the, you know, hallucination delusion,
oh yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. She could have used it on me. And again, my mother was like the sweetest, nicest person I've ever met. And the disease kind of changes the person. And I knew it wasn't her, but one time she threw her light into the wall because she was just so upset and frustrated about the disease. I mean, I hate Parkinson's. I have one of the shirts that say F Parkinson's, and
Oh, yeah.
I wear it proudly. But that was one episode. And then we had to take, unfortunately, the phone out of the room because she thought that we had some care aides. Like, they're not really caregivers, but at certain points I had to work and I have family. So I wanted people with her so that she wouldn't fall, because I knew if she fell, that would have been the end of everything. But she kept saying that they were harming her. So, and obviously they weren't. I had to put video cameras in. I mean, yeah. Every day was like another thing. But so she thought people were harming her. So she called the police and they showed up and it was like a disaster. So those are some of the, it was very tough.
Yeah, that's got to be hard because, like, you know, you it's your mom. So if your mom says someone's hurting her, you can't just, and you know that she's going through all these hard times, you just immediately can't say absolutely no beyond a shadow of a doubt. You're obviously delusional. You know, you gotta, I would look into it.
Yeah, there might be
cameras and stuff.
There might be a roving,
would do that.
There might be a roving game.
What if there are, like, you think about it, it's like, what if there are Nazi vampires in her house at night? You gotta do a stakeout just to make sure. I would totally do that. I would totally do that.
Remember at the, like, not the circus, you know, at those games, like carnivals, they have that whack-a-mole thing. I felt like the little mole getting hit because, honestly, every time we tried something, I mean, we even tried one story you guys will love, but not that you love it, but it's funny, is my mother was in a lot of pain. That wasn't the funny part, but I tried anything.
Hilarious.
We're trying everything. I even, as a police officer, I was scared. I won't curse, but you can imagine what I was going to say. And I even went to get, we got a license for medical marijuana. So imagine a James Bond or Mission Impossible of me walking in to a medical marijuana store to buy something for her while I was looking at cameras and I was going to be on TV.
Excuse me, legal, sir. Please give me your finest marijuana cigarette, please.
Hey, kids.
I'm not a cop, but well, I mean, I am a cop, but I'm not. This is real. I need it though.
I think you two should have your own comic, or not comic, but like one of those TV shows, like not The Simpsons, and then you could probably have, I could imagine a skit for that episode.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's do it right now.
I think we should make a cartoon about care aides who are really secretly Nazis who are trying to take over the country.
That's another show. I have a chapter in the book, and it's just tough to have people, you know, obviously everyone has a life, you have family, not everyone has a life probably, but anyway, so I needed somebody to help, and we spent $12,000 a month for the last few years, and that's not normal, but she needed someone to care for her 24/7. We had to fire, like I'd say, 70 different people because all these companies, and they're not really regulated in Florida at all, in my opinion, but people were being sent. It almost felt like when you go to get a taxi, and no offense to the, you know, drivers, but some of them don't speak English. You tell them to go somewhere and they end up like The Amazing Race in a different country. So, you know, we had to, it was like torturous trying to just find a person who could be nice and also understand Parkinson's. And a lot of these, you know, comfort companies and like the caregivers, you probably see ads, they just aren't trained. One even brought my mother one day shopping for her own stuff out of my mother's house, and my mother was very sick. So, and it almost seemed like a, like some days was like a comedy show, some days it was very tough, but it was just, it didn't all come together, unfortunately. And we tried everything, and you know, I don't regret things because I don't think today, if sitting here talking to you, I could have done anything different except if we found a cure. But you know, you have to find the good, unfortunately, you know, in the darkness. So that's why I do appreciate both of your time, and even talking to you helps me grieve too. A little laugh is always very healthy, and to everybody out there, I mean, you know, Parkinson's might take away your loved one or things, but it'll never take away the better memories. And I, again, I'm just very honored to be able to meet you two. And hopefully this is not just about a one-time talk, but a conversation, you know, that can continue for until we find a cure.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always about making sure that the things that are affecting people in negative ways that we can put focus on and funnel resources into. You know, because you never know, you're living your life, and all of a sudden one day you might be struck with the Parkinson's, right?
Yeah.
And also, going back to the whole, I thought it was very funny, if you ordered a taxi, and then you said you, what, the prostitute? No, I said institute. Oh, I took you to prostitute with Parkinson's. No, I need to go to the Parkinson's Institute. Oh. I misunderstand.
She's really good at hand jobs. She's not so good at the blow jobs.
Super good at hand jobs. She moves so quick, in and out, right? Sorry.
That part, I'll take the fist on that.
So you're not only a police officer, but you're a doctor. What are you a doctor of?
I started my career before the world of caregiving. I dedicated my life to family members of homicide victims, another topic that you won't be able to really joke about. So I'm
challenge accepted.
Check out our episode, Unethical.
Yeah, don't listen to that.
But unfortunately, a lot of times, so I became an attorney first in Washington, D.C. and Florida, and then I became a police officer. So in a way, I kind of went into the field because as a lawyer, unfortunately, I didn't have the time I wanted to help victims of crime. Just don't have too many cases. Then I became a police officer and found out same thing. You just hand a brochure and you have to move on. And that's not what I wanted to do. And thankfully, I was able to do my PhD and dissertation on aiding African-American mothers who lost their loved one due to murder in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh my God.
So my dissertation and work is really research on criminal justice in the field, and I'm a professor, but I just have always, you know, dedicated my life to helping those who might not have a voice or people who unfortunately are forgotten by the system. And that's where I do correlate or you know, think of the Parkinson's community, because like we mentioned earlier, there's never been any legislature or anything from our government ever in history. Finally, last December, I'm proud to say the House bipartisan passed, which is nothing today, as you both know. It's agreeable. Like anything you put through there, it's a nightmare. That's a show that you could bash everybody and joke and laugh because I don't know where, you know, we're paying taxes. It's scary, but they passed the first bill actually hosted or pushed through by the Michael J. Fox Foundation. It's called the National Plan to End Parkinson's Disease. And actually, it's supposed to head to the Senate either this year or next. And you and your actual listeners have a chance now today as we talk, whenever this does air, to be part of history and change the future for people who have Parkinson's caregivers and find a cure. You can, all you have to do is literally reach out to your senator and just urge them to support the bill. You mentioned you're in Florida. I actually interviewed Senator Rick Scott last week. It's on my website. And he was really incredible to talk to. So both senators in Florida have already signed on to support the bill. So there's not much we need to do here in Florida, but we do need everybody else. And I'm not too happy with Marco Rubio, our other senator, because he actually, and I don't blame him. I think his staff, I don't think they're aware. And I actually wrote to them. Rick Scott said no problem. And that's very hard to get, you know, U.S. senator to have a few minutes to talk about Parkinson. But I actually got a note, and I'll be writing another book about, you know, the lack of support from the media and the, you know, politics things and entertainers sometimes. But his secretary actually wrote back and said they have national issues and things and he doesn't have time, which I don't think that's true. I think they are lacking the knowledge and awareness, which is part of the literal problem. And very frustrated that he's a representative. And again, I don't know if he was directly the one who said anything, probably not. But to have a staff that doesn't give a moment for my mother who passed and all the millions around the world that are suffering is very, very bad taste in my mouth. It's not right. And I would hope someone listening out there, even you two, write to Senator Marco Rubio and say you should, you know, spend a minute to discuss this because, I mean, they have the power to change lives and he's not using it for this, but they are using it for things like, you know, nonsense for other countries.
I will write Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio
now
is a fan of the show. He's listening.
He'll listen to this right now.
And you know what, Rubio?
Hey, you never know.
Rubio, get your shit together, man. Get your shit together, Rubio.
Get learned. Get learned.
Parkinson's.
It's a terrible disease.
We got to get rid of it.
I believe that. I didn't flinch a second when you said Florida was already on board. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, we don't have death with dignity, though, which is sad because my mother, unfortunately, the last 7 days, she only had a heartbeat and didn't even function. Everything was literally just gone. It was heartbreaking. And
oh, God.
We didn't know what was going on, when it would happen, nothing. And in Florida, we still don't have a death with dignity law. We treat our animals better than our loved ones, which is really tragic. And there are states that have it, but you'd have to move, be like New Jersey and be a resident. We can do that. But imagine, you know, your loved one, anyone just laying there breathing but not able to speak, eat, or even, you know, live, and they don't help them. So that needs to also change.
So what do you mean by death with dignity?
Yeah, sure. There's a law called Death with Dignity Act, which some states have, like New Jersey, where if you, if your loved one agreed before they lost any ability to understand or appreciate, you know, mentally, they can end their life, you know, peacefully, whether it's
like an injection or something.
Exactly. And I personally would do it to myself if you're. No, you're not. It's usually for end of life, which is, you know, you just no coming back. It's a just the disease, but they don't recognize Parkinson's in Florida, in the country, or at least in Florida, still as an end-of-life disease. But I can, if you read my book and lived through my experience, it's the only thing that ended my mother's, unfortunately, in her life. And, you know, it's just tragic because, you know, you think it could happen to us or you, a friend. It's unfortunate. I don't know if we're getting more awareness because of some of my work. I don't want to take credit, but or is it that more and more people are getting Parkinson's? And I think that's the tragic point. That now I had a message from Jack Osborne. He put a video for me because his father Ozzy is suffering badly. I also was able to get a few musicians, Kenny G, famous saxophone player. He happened to be my mother's favorite when she was alive, and he wrote a song for her, and I interviewed Muhammad Ali's daughter, and there's a lot of...
Kenny G wrote Kenny a song G? About your mom?
I love Kenny G.
To her, yeah, and he actually left a message. It's all on my website and all, yeah.
Good job, but, Kenny G. You know,
Yeah, there's a lot of great people just reaching in. And the saddest one about those stories is I actually wanted to speak to Richard Lewis, the famous comedian, and I reached out to his agent. Somehow they responded. This was like 2 months ago, and he said right now he's not, not looking to speak about it because he didn't want to come really out or talk much about Parkinson's yet. And then I saw the news, a month ago that he passed. So obviously, he was struggling, and it's just it's tragic to lose people, at any age.
Yeah, this is gonna sound a little sappy, but I did tear up on the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale. There's no more Richard Lewis.
Yeah. Well, I hope I don't make you cry here, because I've actually had people cry on the podcast, and it's like an Oprah Winfrey moment, and I don't want to be Oprah.
Yeah, I just to kind of share something similar, I had sent a message to Tommy Chong's managers to come on the show and talk about comedy, and they said he doesn't do podcasts anymore. So is that the same?
Is that the same?
Yeah, similar, but I think I would like to learn more about marijuana from them because I couldn't figure it out. Because in Florida, if you learn a lot about the laws and you have an actual legal license for marijuana, the distilleries do not speak to the doctor. So it's basically the Wild West, and no one, just a complete disaster. That was not it didn't go how I thought. I thought it might help her with her pain, but it ended up being either getting her even worse, more hallucinations, or almost sadly, falling out of the wheelchair. So it helps people. I'm all for it for, legal and for people, with cancer, end of life, MS. But unfortunately, again, it didn't work for us.
So it's like,
the strands are so strong. They're too psychoactive.
Yeah, it's like, it may not have helped, but she was high as fuck.
Yeah, there's probably...
I'll defer to you too. You sound like the expert.
No, I don't. We don't know anything about drugs ever, officer.
Officer, lawyer, doctor.
Officer, doctor, lawyer, man. You can do the whole thing.
I can arrest you, I can defend you, and then I can teach you, because I actually teach in a prison right now.
So. Professor, lawyer, doctor, officer.
So I have, it sounds like you went kind of the opposite. When my mom... it got real bad with her with MS. I kind of stayed away from everything MS because I was terrified of it. It was so sad and it scared me.
Yeah, I saw your mom. I visited her a couple of times. Delaney saw her once, and she could talk by like pointing to like letters, and you had to like wait for her to spell out.
That was when she could still move her hands.
And then it was so horrifying to see her like that when she was so, there was a point where she was so full of life and running around and stealing money from people.
Yep. And so one of the, I've shied away from knowing anything about it. I was so scared that I was going to get it. Is that something you ever thought with yourself with Parkinson's?
Is it hereditary usually, or are we looking at more of like external causes as more people are developing Parkinson's? Have we been able to, like, is it McDonald's chicken nuggets? Is it, what is it?
Well, oddly enough, I was at an event today for the American Parkinson's Disease Association, and I was, it's amazing and virtual, but to be there live with people, unfortunately, still battling it and meeting the families, it just changes your life. But a friend of mine has Parkinson's. He gave me a band like he made, and it was beautiful, but I gave it to my daughter, who's only 11, and actually she said, if she wears it, is she going to get Parkinson's? And yeah, I don't know what you tell a child, because it's even hard enough to tell adults, but... To be honest, they don't believe it's genetic. They do think it's environmental and could be diet and things, but I am a big believer it's environment. My mother had a nice home. She tried her best, but it had mold, it had termites, and who knows what they sprayed, the pesticides. So I spoke to an expert on Parkinson's a week or two ago, and I agree with him. They believe it's the pesticides that we might have from our food from the supermarket. Also, I was shocked when I found out the dry cleaning, what they use, like the sprays and the chemicals, and also, pesticides, the sprays that they use for bugs in the homes. And, they say that even the water we drink, a lot of things. So it's not easy to change your life, but there are many things you can do. Some doctors do believe it's not curable, but it is preventable. That's what they say. By exercising 45 minutes a day, slows down the progression. The problem is many people aren't aware if they have it. So that's a big issue. Right now, they had a breakthrough last year in the world through the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and it's called a biomarker. Again, I'm not a medical doctor. I only play one on TV. So you have to do your own research.
Are you an actor, too?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, this is horrible. They put a needle in your spine, which is not something anyone really wants to go to the doctor to do. But they might be able to determine now if you have Parkinson's, and that's huge because now if you're treated, you know, diagnosed properly and not the wrong, there are people who are misdiagnosed and they end up getting medicines that are wrong. So that destroys the stomach and the gut.
Oh,
and,
no, God.
Anyway, yeah. So if they want to take that technology and in the next year try to put it in a regular, simple blood test, like, and have it in every doctor's office in the world, in the U.S., but I don't know how easy that'll be. But that would be incredible technology. But the problem is, if you have it, you still, you know, it's still tragic. So, like I said, you can slow it down, the progression, 45 minutes. And even if you don't have Parkinson's, you should still, everyone should be doing at least 45 minutes a day. I don't do it right now. I'm a hypocrite in a way because I spend, like, unfortunately, a lot of hours. Even my family gets upset a little because, you know, I hate seeing people. I've made some really good friends now in the Parkinson's community. And when I see them on Instagram or Facebook suffering and shaking, and one gentleman had to leave. He loved being a truck driver. That's his dream. He had to retire because he couldn't do it anymore because of Parkinson's. Wow. And those are the things that kind of like drive me. And like last night, I didn't sleep thinking about it, which the big number one thing about caregiving is you have to take care of yourself first. And you know, I didn't do that when I was caring for my mother, and I don't do the oxygen mask thing.
Yeah, you put your oxygen mask on first, and then you can help other people.
Need a Darth Vader mask.
You do a line first, and then set up the line for the next guy.
Right. Like God into what does that mean? Wait, I don't understand that, Lugo. What vernacular is that?
I've never done it.
Am I the first guest that's taken the Fifth Amendment the most on the show?
Yes. Hey everybody, Future Michael here. Real quick, so just wanted to figure out and take a moment to ask y'all your opinion. So we have this new theme song, and so for the last few episodes we haven't played a band of the week. In all honesty, I'm not entirely sure how to incorporate the two at this point. I have this great theme song. I would be hard pressed not to play it all the time. It's so catchy. It's good for marketing. Like, it's such a great theme song. I love it. William Lanham did such a good job on this theme song. I don't want to let it go. But we have had some people mention that they do kind of miss the bands of the week and getting that new fresh tune in right every week. So text the show, 903-287-0660. If you have any type, if you think you know what we should do, please help. So tell us your opinion. How can we get both out of it? What would you guys like to see? You know, text the show. Let us know. 903-287-0660. And we're brought to you by Dungeon Studios, makers of 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons modules, soon to be a settings book. We are covering events now. We have nerd news out in the field doing interviews at events. We have Fables from the Forgotten, an audio drama, brand new. Subscribe to that. I worked really hard on it. And we also have The Game, a tabletop kind of variety show type thing. So Dungeon Studios, doing lots of stuff. Subscribe to their Facebook, see all the stuff and things. Oh, also, when I was in Utah, there was literally a store called Stuffin' Things, and I took a picture of it. I was very excited. It was very funny, because I say that a lot. Anyway, I think rambling on. I love you all very much. I love you. If you haven't heard that enough today, I love you. Okay, goodbye.
The thing that keeps me going is not just inspiration from them, but people like you both, because, again, this helps me grieve just talking about it, you know, watching, trying to forget life for a few minutes. I had major back surgery. I'm actually having a third one, unfortunately, next month. And
well, you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders.
I mean, all of the things you've done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got some reason you'll love this. I got addicted to Survivor, and now we're stuck on Amazing Race. So I've watched every season in like a
video. Dude, I don't know why. When you referenced Amazing Race earlier, me and my wife just got on that because we have some internet cable channel that came with our TV.
It's like a scavenger hunt,
that's just Amazing Race.
It's a scavenger hunt around the world.
Yeah, yeah, it's a scavenger. Yeah.
I don't know. It's the great. Best part is they all fight with each other. Like, I don't care.
It's like Rat Race. And then,
And then there's a show, you might have seen it, but Fallout. And I have no clue why.
I was just going to bring that up. I was like, dude, we just, Jeremy and I just binged shit out of Fallout.
You've been watching it?
I love it. I don't know why. I just can't.
Do you ever play the games?
Probably not. I'm guessing. He was too busy being a doctor, cop,
lawyer, professor.
I loved it. When I was growing up, I loved games, and then I just decided to stop totally because I would take them and throw them in the wall if I couldn't beat them.
Oh, yeah.
That was the end of video games. So it was probably healthier I stopped, but I...
This goddamn Crash Bandicoot.
This show is crazy, but I do... It, again, like anything, like movies, music, I play guitar, but anything takes your mind off it. I did have one kind of interesting story. You go to togetherforsharon.com and you scroll to the bottom, you'll see a video and I'm playing guitar. We had a music therapist for my mother. We tried everything just to kind of, even if she could just forget life for 3 minutes a day or something, just to get her out of the world of, pain. So I had the honor of playing with the music therapist, and we played the song Memory. It was when I was a kid, my mother brought me to Broadway and we saw the show Cats. But unfortunately, it was the last week my mother was alive, and we played the song, and she actually said, "Thank you, I loved it." And those were her last words. But it was a great moment because at least we made her, smile one final time.
And you got through.
We captured it. Yeah, obviously, I don't have her on the video, but if you go to the site and you scroll to the bottom, you'll see it. And, the only point of saying that is whether caregiver, family, you have a tough time. My message out there is that you're never alone in this fight. There are people like you too, me, who are never going to forget. And I just want people to know that they're never alone and that together our voices are so much stronger.
Absolutely.
Memories, Cats. I know it's people laugh at it, but I love certain musicals.
Jimmy's a Broadway boy.
And I got that from my mom and my grandmother, from our Inga Bubba.
Yeah.
And I'll be on the roof sometimes and Memory comes in my head and I'll sing it. I'm just by myself on a roof and I will get emotional because that song does also make me think of my mom and what she went through and how she changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting tired. I'm thinking about the lyrics right now. My eyes are getting puffy.
No, Jeremy.
Actually, the only thing I really remember besides that song, my mother loved it, was when I was a kid and we were at Cats in the dark. Some cat, like a person in a costume, touched my shoulder. I almost punched him in the face.
Get out of here, magical Mr. Mistopheles.
Touching. Today you can't do that because you have 5 lawsuits and save us something.
Today you can't punch the performers in the face.
You're just choking out the rum tum tugger with his tail. So that's cool that you're watching Fallout. You've done all of these amazing things, and you're sitting here watching one of me and Mike have.
Yeah.
We were kids who put hundreds and hundreds of hours into these games.
Yeah. I started doing it again because the show was like, you need to play Fallout right now.
I think we probably have a lot more in common. And unfortunately, again, your loss of mine, kind of brings us together, which is just part of fate. And
you also jack off in the mirror?
Well, once again, I'll take the 5th, but I don't even have time to sleep. I don't have time to eat. Sometimes I don't have time. Actually, tonight, because if we were meeting, I didn't eat at all today.
You got to take care of yourself. Like you said, you got to take care of yourself.
Like this guy, you just talked to fucking Senator Rick Scott. I'm over here like, you jack off in the mirror?
Douchebag, Jeremy.
If you can't laugh, then you can't live. And you have to have it's got to be a time where you can... unfortunately, what happened, and we can't bring her back. And I just have to keep moving forward. You have to laugh. You have to, some people look to prayer. I'm not that kind of person, but I mean, anything that can help someone reintegrate themselves and be able to keep pushing forward. And the only reason I am able to move on is, and not move on, but keep going is, again, all the people that I just still see going through this even today. I mean, I hugged and people cried and And you hear them, and you know, one thing I don't want to get too far into, but I don't have Parkinson's, and I'm no longer a person that's caring for a loved one that's alive. And I do feel many days that I'm still forgotten, and I don't feel like I still have a seat at the table, which is really sad to people who lost, you know, we have millions of people like yourself who lost someone due to a disease. But most times these organizations, and again, I won't, you know, name them. I'm writing another book about this. I'm not going to name the places, but they really don't have anything for people grieving, people who lost their loved one due to, you know, ALS. Or it's almost like, obviously, we want a cure, but the people going through it don't want to really think about the end, you know. And I don't want them to, too, but we have a lot of things that we can help and inspire and change. And not having a seat at the table is, you know, kind of heartbreaking. And I feel that I live because of, again, you people like you two and shows and being able to bring the message. But it's incredible to me that a lot of the big organizations, they literally, it's almost like, all right, if you have Parkinson's, obviously we're fighting for a cure in your family. But guess what? If you don't, if you lose the battle, good luck, goodbye, and see you. And that's the end of it. And that's not how it should be. We have a beginning, middle, and end of life, and nobody ever wants to talk about the end of life because it's tough.
Yeah.
But if you plan, you know, if you plan, if you have a will, if you have a power of attorney, if you have a funeral planned, you're going to have so much less stress and family fights and horrible things that come, but people just want to, you know, ignore it. And that's one thing I don't ever do. That's why I was excited to be on the show. I never back down. I'll always talk about anything. And I just think if you don't talk about the tough topics, then we're never going to find an answer.
That's right.
Speaking of that, where do you stand on the Israel-Palestine conflict?
Well, that's a good question, which if I do say something, I'll probably be arrested. So I'll say
play the fifth again. Okay. That's bold. That's exactly what you need to do.
I'm 6'2", 200-pound, white, cop, Jewish, and right now I'm not sure what political party.
Oh, Shabbat Shalom.
Happy Passover, dude.
I went to Israel in 99 when they said the world was going to end. My mother didn't want me to go. I went. I'm here, but... You know, I wish everybody would just stop fighting and, you know, hurting. I don't know anyone, but who would be, but I'm very against violence. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I grew up, unfortunately, seeing bad things, and that's why I decided to go into that field. But I just don't understand violence. I understand, you know, you could talk and maybe argue, but there's no reason anyone should ever resort to that. And it's just horrible. But I never speak on politics and all that stuff because it's, you know, I respect everyone. Not everybody's a thing, but not the terrorists. But,
well, I mean, at this point, you need to add senators. Then you could be Jewish lawyer, professor, doctor, officer, senator.
Brooklyn.
I was asked, I had an opportunity, and I decided I don't want people at my door, you know, threatening my family and my children's lives. I think I'll head more to Parkinson's because, I mean, the vote was almost 400 and plus to like six people. I don't know who those six geniuses are that didn't vote for them, the national plan. Like, imagine, I have like two guys.
They
on my
own a pharmaceutical company that
creates Parkinson's.
like treatments that non cures, but treatments. So
some days you know how like in the cartoons and when we were kids, I think we're probably all similar age maybe, but like you had the good guy and the bad guy on your shoulder and. One guy says, don't waste your time to write to those people. And the other one says, you should write to them. Just ask them, like, what are they thinking? What are they on? Because how could you say no when not even just their beliefs, but the whole entire house, like that never happened, voted for it. It passed. But like eight geniuses. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, we're getting close to that time. But Jeremy has a very important question. He's going to ask it. We ask this question to every single one of our guests, and Jeremy needs a win. But, Jeremy, do you want me to ask it or do you want to ask it?
Well, I just have a statement that I can't get out of my head. He said, we're probably roughly the same age, and God, I hope not. You've done so much. You've so many accomplishments.
So much with your life.
I've done nothing.
We make dick jokes into a microphone.
That's crazy. I could build a roof.
I still love the jerky voice and Howard Stern, but not anymore.
I was a big O and A guy.
Yeah, I don't know who that
is. Opie and Anthony.
I remember. Howard hated them. Didn't like them.
Yeah, Howard did not like them at all, which made me love them even more. It was because my dad, who I was rebelling against, was like, you want to hear something funny? And he put on Howard Stern. And I immediately found Opie and Anthony. I was like, Howard Stern blows, dude. Opie and Anthony's the future, dog.
You can ask the question, Jeremy.
Okay, so for your own reasons, who is better, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone?
I actually love Sylvester Stallone. He lives in Palm Beach, and I mean, he has a beautiful family. I never saw that show, but they if you do want to watch the Survivor, for some reason they have to torture you every season with the only one commercial, and it's Sylvester Stallone's show all day. I'm so sick of it.
Jeremy, he does have a beautiful family.
I do. I like. I mean, they're both great, but I like Predator. I show it to you. I like to leave the Sci-Fi Channel on just to make myself feel more. Better some days when you know you see people eating each other on TV, but I like them both. But I think that movie though with all the older people together was odd. Like I'm not a fan of that show. I forgot what movie it was
the
called,
Expendables.
But you know, that was terrible. But I mean, we don't have time. But I'm a big Hulk Hogan fan. So.
Oh, dude, love Hulk Hogan. I'm definitely Macho Man guy. Love Macho Man.
They don't make it like. Today, we get it. Like,
they're trying. Have you seen what they've been doing? The Rock is out there cussing at everybody, dropping F-bombs.
I don't watch now, but it's weird to bring like the Undertaker is literally in a real grave now, and he's still wrestling. And when Kane becomes a politician and he's actually successful.
George. Oh, we lost you.
There he is.
There you are.
Technology 2024.
That's right. That's right.
So we got another win for old Sylvester Stallone.
I think we're 13-16.
No, we were. Now we're 14-16.
14-16.
And
who are they to protest me, huh? Who are they? Unless they bid me, I bid there and know what the hell they got on about.
I tried to add sound effects on my podcast, but it didn't go as good as that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, George. What can people do? What call to action can we have our listeners do to help in this cause?
Marco Rubio.
Call Marco Rubio.
That would be good, but I'm really so grateful for your time. And again, I feel like we're family if you want to be, because this is not an easy topic. It's not, you know, I'm not coming on here. I don't want anything literally back. I don't want any, we don't accept money. I do have a little statement I say, but please reach out to your senators out of Florida or in Florida. Tell them it's very important to end this disease so we can save lives. But this is my message to both of you and your families and everybody listening. We love you. We support you. We care a lot about you, and you're never alone. I, along with the two hosts here, will advocate for you. And together, our voices are just so much stronger. And I always say I'm just getting started because every day I meet somebody like you too, and our people in the Parkinson's community, or even people who aren't aware, it really changes my life. I feel like that Energizer Bunny where I'm about to just pass out or because I'm just burnt out. But then when I see these new stories and inspirations or, you know, get an email from someone going through this and battling or even family, it just makes it re-energizes me and almost, you know, wants me to just keep fighting. So, just again, grateful for both of you, your time, and hopefully we can keep in touch. Please visit togetherforsharon.com, where just resources about Parkinson's all in one spot. You'll see the 600 interviews I've done around the world. You'll see some of the celebrities who are fighting this disease. And again, everything is free. There's no charge. There's no Shark Tank where I'm going to say, but wait, there's more. You know, it's just I wish we could end this disease, and I'm so thankful to both of you, and I really did enjoy the time together. So thank you again.
We're glad you had fun. We also had fun. And,
honored.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're a true patriot.
Doing some great work out there.
Yeah, that's not even these days. I don't know if that's allowed to be a patriot.
You are on this platform, sir.
That's right.
Mike doesn't think so.
You're a majizzy
now. Mike doesn't agree at all, but you're a patriot, sir. You're a true American hero. Mike hates America.
Nope.
Hates
nope. Doing what you're doing. Zero. I guarantee you're also reaching some incredible people. And like I said, if we all just reach one person tonight, we've changed the world for the better. So thank you both.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show. We really appreciate having you on.
Thank you.
All right, man. You have a good one, buddy.
You too.
Bye. Bye.
What an amazing individual that guy was.
What an amazing guy. We are Majizzy Pod.
He does so much stuff.
too much
for his community.
He's riding. Is it a good thing to ride on the shoulders of giants, or is that a bad thing?
I don't know, but he's 35 apparently, and he's done a lot of shit.
He's a doctor, lawyer, professor, police
advocate
officer,
man,
potential actor.
He wrote a book.
He did write a book. He did write a book, which I will plug.
A Son's Journey.
A Son's Journey. Yes.
It was easy for me to remember.
A Son's Journey. So, what a great job he's doing. We are Majizzypod. MJSYPOD on all the things.
And every time he got hit down by something in life, he just kept going.
And we're here making sure that the world knows about these serious, hard-hitting issues. Like Parkinson's.
If there's something to do about it, if there's a bill to pass. I haven't read the bill. I hope they haven't snuck in a bunch of weird stuff in it.
Write to Rubio. Tell him he's a douchebag and he needs to cure Parkinson's.
I don't know if calling him a douchebag. Call him a douchebag at the end of the letter.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
Start. Hey, douchebag. He's just going to throw it away.
Oh.
Let him read the
Parkinson's. Well, no, by law, he has to read the whole letter.
Is that a law?
That is true.
I don't think it
they
is.
They have to read every single letter that they receive.
Really?
Yes.
We should start sending letters
to senators.
That's
why writing letters to senators is so important, because legally they have to acknowledge them.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's why when I sent, when they told me my internet was going to be more expensive, that I needed to write my senator, I did, and he responded.
He said, fuck you, the prices are growing up.
Pretty much. Yeah.
These roads are falling apart. You need to pay more for internet. We should write your senators.
Yeah.
I have a new slogan.
What?
Write your senators.
We are MajizzyPod. Write your senators.
Yep.
Okay.
You can make a difference. Mike, you can make a difference.
How do you feel about our new theme song, Jimmy?
I love it.
It's so great.
You know what would make it better?
What?
Which, not musically. Musically, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Thanks, Billy.
Yeah. Thanks, William Lanham.
Animate it. Someone out there should animate it.
Someone out there should animate anything that we do.
Well, the intros would be easy.
The intros would be great.
Because they're pretty quick.
But someone animate our, make a music video of our theme song.
And don't forget, I'm ripped.
Jeremy's so strong and
handsome.
I'm
very strong. I'm not, me and Mike are not tall, but I'm very strong. Mike has very nice shoulders.
I'm 5'9".
Mike has very nice shoulders.
Then hands.
Big hands.
Big, big, overly big hands.
Giant hands, medium-sized cock.
It does the job.
You animate it.
Okay, never mind.
His medium-sized cock animated.
Support the show. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/MajizzyPod.
You know what? Write your senators a letter and tell them to go to our website, MJSYPOD.com.
MajizzyPod.com.
And if they want to respond, tell them that they can respond at AJAH.
AJAH. Our email, UHJYEAH at MajizzyPod.com.
And you know what? If you want to leave them a number that they could call and the senator could leave us a voicemail, he could send it to 903-287-0660.
That's right, Jeremy.
It's pretty fucking easy. I don't know why we have to tell you every single time.
Right. I mean, obviously, you've listened since day one, and you are fully caught up on our podcast, and if not, do so. Go back. We're funny.
Go to the merch store. We have magnets and stickers.
That's
They're
right.
Actually
$5.
Good quality, too. They're not like shitty stickers.
I have one on my car. It's vinyl, and it looks just as new as the day that I put it on there. It's been in the Florida heat and rain.
It still looks really
good. It looks perfect. It looks not sunbaked, nothing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's been on there for
like...
It's got
the QR code and everything.
Yeah, it's got a QR code. It'll send other Majizzies to the Majizzyverse.
Yeah. And if you're in Atlanta or the surrounding Atlanta area, you can catch us on Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays at 9.
At 9.
On WDJY-FM.
Straight talk.
Straight talk. Straight talk.
None of that queer talk.
Jeremy.
It's all straight talk. None of that talk. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, guys. All right, Jeremy, I think that's it.
Parkinson sucks, dude.
It does suck. Let's rip it a new asshole.
And, like, that dude taking it that seriously after doing all that stuff.
Dude, George
good.
Is a superhero.
He is.
He's a fucking superhero.
He's a Jew from Brooklyn who's fighting Parkinson's.
He's fighting it.
With his doctorate and his nightstick.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy, I love you.
I love you. Peace.
Bye.
Michael and Jeremy, steal your podcast. Michael and Jeremy, steal your podcast. Like to get crazy, talk a lot of trash. Michael and Jeremy, steal your podcast.
episode.
What a new view on Parkinson's disease.
That was fun.
I wasn't supposed to be.
Hilarious.
I wasn't supposed to be.
What a fantastic episode.
Are we not capable of conducting serious, in-depth interviews?
I thought it went really well. The whole bit about the electric toothbrush.
Oh, yeah, you definitely said that. Oh, God. Well, children, go fetch your father. Fetch him wherever he usually hangs out. I will release you.
Hey. They got loose. Are you guys still here?
Well, we just did your podcast. It's all done now.
Mike, the kids are attacking me.
Oh, my God, Jeremy! Ah! Kevin, what's the word that you use to control your children?
Mustard.
Oh, wow.
Oh. We're surprisingly well.
Wow. They're so stoic now.
That's also my safe word.
Children, blink twice if you're in trouble. Well, they're not blinking.
No blinks. I haven't trained properly.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. Okay, get out of here. Go.
Well, anyway, here's your podcast back. Very little damage.
Who knew that Parkinson's was so hilarious?
And we didn't get canceled, hopefully.
Well, I mean, I'll be canceled, but that's fine.
I hope that guy doesn't use his cop abilities to come after us.
Oh, no.
Like Liam Neeson. Was Liam Neeson a cop in that movie?
No. He wasn't a cop. He was actually, I don't know. Was he an ex-hitman?
He was a cop guy.
A detective?
He was a doctor cop.
Fair enough.
Do you think that his daughter could have fought those Frenchmen off if she had Parkinson's? Like a sock'em bopper? Or like a... What's the robot game?
Yeah, Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Yeah.
And they were French, too, so, I mean, couldn't have been that hard.
Right.
Oh, no. Oh, she's fighting back. That's my French accent.
She's a fighting back. That's French.
Forget your baguettes.
I had a good time.
Well, thank you guys for covering that for me.
Oh, yeah, somebody had to do it.
Keep up the good work.
You were probably going to ask serious, hard-hitting questions like you normally do on your podcast and really draw out the good in humanity. We didn't do that today. Instead, we went a funny route.
Hey, it's good to laugh. Even with someone with Parkinson's needs to laugh.
Oh, I agree.
Crazy
jokes
how his mom was going to vote for RFK until he found out it was a speech impediment.
Who? What? That joke went over my head.
He laughed. Kevin laughed. This is good stuff.
Well, that was better than anything I could have done, so I appreciate it.
Well, we're going to be on the run now, so.
We were Majizipod.
We were Majizipod, and you have a good day, Kevin.
Oh, you too. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Where are you from?
We're in Florida.
Oh, I am too. What part?
Hmm. Well, officer. Well, we're
over. If you say my name, you might get extra tickets.
In a boy's dream. I was walking down the street and I almost slipped on a banana peel, but while avoiding the banana peel, I stepped. Oh, I can hear you. There he is. Can you hear us?